climb in and hold on.
We're driving the conversation.
It's the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota.
Welcome back to the Joel and Thomas Show right here on KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1. And, of course, don't forget you can listen from anywhere. Just head to the App Store, download the app. That's it. Then you'll be all set. The library legislation has prompted a lot of heated debate over the past few years. And you may recall that last year, a similar bill to what's being brought forward now was vetoed by the governor because the language was pretty vague. And now we're hearing that this new legislation that has been altered following that veto, we're hearing now that Senate Bill 1289, the library legislation, could be voted on today or tomorrow. We posted a question on Facebook about this, and Jared Lytle responded to that, and I've invited him into the studio to share that comment and to have a discussion about this, because the important thing that I want to bring to the forefront is that there are a lot of different facets to this that have been overlooked. Jared, thanks for stopping by the studio.
Thanks for having me.
And I want to point out, too, that Jared has some experience working with children and youth in crisis. So he brings that to the equation. Jared, let's just dive right in and have you share the comment that you shared on our Facebook page.
Okay. Well, to the question, should parents be able to sue libraries for the books they carry? My answer was sure. Our justice system is built on the idea that you can sue anybody for anything, but this is a suit you shouldn't be able to win. Parents need to just be parents to their children instead of trying to sue everybody and everything that comes into contact with their child that they don't agree with. Some books may not jive with one family's opinions, but could be very helpful for someone else. Don't be afraid of ideas. Do your best to explain your reasoning of why something is bad and try to understand that all human beings, your children included, have to eventually make their own choices.
I love that. And I have to say, Jared, one of the things that really struck me about your response to that question was don't be afraid of ideas. And that sounds simple, but if we step back and look at a lot of the hot topics that are generating a lot of debate, we see evidence that sometimes folks are afraid of new ideas.
Oh, absolutely. It's very easy to, you know, not want to say anything just because of your discomfort, or maybe just the fact that maybe you don't know enough about it, or that you're not willing to because it's such an offensive idea from what you were raised in or what your beliefs are that you don't want to put any thought into it.
Exactly. And we see examples of people being shamed if they step outside of that comfort zone, if they dare to see something a little bit different. And then oftentimes their support system can begin to crumble because they're getting fingers pointed at them, they're getting questioned and blamed and shamed. And so we have a lot of folks that start to shut down. And that's not how we make progress. Dialogue, conversation is so important.
Absolutely. But it's more than just dialogue, because most people these days, it seems like the dialogue has more to do with listening for in order to reply rather than listening to understand. And If we can have conversations, but those conversations aren't filled with empathy and non-judgment, then they're useless.
I love that. I often point to that bit of logic that we have to stop for a moment and get into that mode of listening to understand. It's that curiosity piece that is so crucial to us being able to make productive steps forward.
Absolutely.
What have you seen in your work with teens and youth in crisis that might surprise people?
Most of the kids that I've worked with, most of the teenagers I've worked with that are labeled as troubled and troublemakers are actually very sweet. They have good hearts that they want to do what's right, but most people aren't willing to even listen to them or try to understand where they've come from. Most troubled teens are the teens that were bullied, not the bullies in the beginning.
And so they really do start to shut down and naturally have some built-up frustration and anger, and they're carrying a lot on their shoulders. As you think about this legislation that's being put forward in terms of the library, is there a red flag to all of this that really stands out in your mind?
Well, a big part of it is that usually it's simplified and a lot of people start to use buzzwords and then they continue to repeat those over and over again. Like in this case, pornography, which I don't believe is in like any of those books. There's plenty of those books on the list that don't have anything like that in them, but also there's a lot of books in libraries that aren't on those lists that have a lot of sexual material in them that's not being mentioned. And so it's not about pornography and telling people that's the case over and over again. You're just trying to mislead them
to get them to follow along. You're exactly right. When it comes to these hot button issues, there are these buzzwords that end up being emotional triggers that lead people to say, I don't even need to know more. You had me at pornography.
Absolutely. I mean, in the psychology world, a parent giving their children pornography is considered sexual abuse. It is a form of sexual abuse to knowingly allow your children, your minor children, access to pornographic materials. So who is going to be against that?
Right.
The reason why people are fighting back against it is because it's not pornography. That's the point.
There's always more to every situation than initially meets the eye. And sometimes things can look good on paper, but start to lose their luster when you see those unintended consequences and how it might affect young people. Jared, how important is it, in your opinion, for children to have a safe space to be able to talk about those difficult topics?
Oh, it's more important than any outside influence, like, because a child's most important support system is their family at home. And, you know, you're carrying around in your pocket, most kids are, and pretty much all adults are carrying around a phone that can access anything, but that, even that, is not nearly as important as an environment at home where they can have conversations with empathy and non-judgment. And just, you know, in a situation, children need to know that they are loved regardless of any choices that they make, so that they can have conversations with their parents and know that it's not going to make their parents hate them and they're not going to get punished over an idea.
So true. Jared, do you have time to stay for another segment? I'd love to ask you a couple of more questions if you've got time.
Absolutely.
Okay. More with Jared Lytle after this.